Many years ago, there lived a butcher named Kevin Park. One day, two noblemen dropped by to buy a pound of meat. One of them said to him in a commanding tone, "Hey, Kevin, bring me a pound of meat." So he replied, "Yes, sir," bringing him a pound of meat. After a little while, another nobleman came and asked him in a gentle tone, "Mr. Park, could I get a pound of meat, please?" Then the butcher brought him meat which was visibly greater in size. Having ordered the same amount of meat, the man who came first was upset and complained about this. "Man, didn't we order 1 pound of meat? How come mine is smaller than his?" The butcher, keeping a straight face, said as follows, "It's because the first order was taken care of by a lowly butcher, while the second one by a respected butcher." According to how he was treated, he cut off meat in a different way. Brothers and sisters, there is a Korean proverb that goes, "A word can repay a debt of $1,000. This signifies that if we move another person with wise words, even a huge debt can be canceled. Another proverb says, "A 9 centimeter tongue could destroy a man." It cautions us against saying words recklessly because misuse of our tongue could lead us to destruction. By using his tongue well, Peter made a confession of faith and was complimented by our Lord. Moreover, he gained the honor of carrying out his duties as his chief disciple. On the contrary, with his tongue, Judas Iscariot sold his master for 30 pieces of silver. He faced a miserable outcome and ended up in eternal torment in hell. We are well aware of how the two disciples, Peter and Judas Iscariot, ended up. Words are the expression of one's heart and can determine whether he lives or dies. Brothers and sisters, the time we are living in is called the era of mass media. Social networking service prevalent in the world brings us so many benefits. Yet, its adverse effects give rise to social issues because videos or texts delivered by means of SNS serve as a medium of conveying and expressing our minds. We have to be cautious when using it. Words and language have such a great impact. They could bring about either blessing or curse. But people are inclined to use them carelessly. Considering the impact of our words, we cannot speak or write them carelessly. It's because our each and every word involves responsibility. This is the justice. All answers and blessings come by God's justice and His love. Of course, if one commits sins, thereby creating a wall of sin, he can neither be answered nor blessed. Some people turn all their hard work and efforts into nothing. Who would want to break down all things they've piled up with hard efforts? But in reality, quite a few people do so as they fail to control the words of their lips. By speaking or writing inappropriate words, they tear down everything they've piled up in faith. They repeatedly break down what they've built. For example, they build up to this point and then they demolished it. This repeats again and again. You know, in terms of our growth of faith and in other areas, we have to continually build up. But some people just turn all things into nothing by their words. Today, I'll deliver a message based on Senior Pastor's previous sermon, "Set a Guard Over Your Mouth." May this message empower you to receive all answers and blessings Father God has in store for you. Brothers and sisters, the title for today's message is Set a Guard Over Your Mouth. Let's repeat, set a guard over your mouth. Amen. A guard refers to an individual who stands guard at a specific area to protect its residents. So if we set a guard over our mouth, we can keep our words under control. If we speak always having a guard over our mouth, we can always speak the words of truth in pursuit of God's will. Furthermore, we can discern words to speak from those not to be spoken. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, we find that things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 reminds us, the good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his own evil treasure what is evil. If we are good-hearted, we would speak good words and do good. If we are evil-hearted, we would speak evil words and do evil acts. In addition, if we have the fruit of patience, fully born in our heart, we can discern between words to speak and those not to be spoken. We can find the most appropriate words according to time, space, and the hearer. No matter how good they are, words spoken without patience may fail to edify or touch others. Even if we say something out of a good intention on our part, the other person may not accept it in a good way. Thus, until we make ourselves whole, we have to set a guard over our mouth. Then, what does it mean to set a guard over our mouth? Regarding this, I'll share 3 points with you. Brothers and sisters, to set a guard over our mouth, first, we shouldn't speak what is worthless in our everyday lives. Worthless words bring no benefit to others as well as ourselves. Then, what are worthless words? All the words of untruth are worthless. All the words of untruth and darkness are worthless. First, lies are not only worthless but harmful to ourselves and others. Telling a lie is an act of deceiving others, so it causes them harm. If another person believes a lie to be true, he can suffer damage both mentally and financially. Lying brings harm upon ourselves as well. As it is a work of flesh, it constitutes a sin before God. Therefore, no matter how trivial it may seem, we shouldn't tell a lie. If you fail to keep a promise you've made to someone, you also end up lying. Let me introduce a someone's anecdote senior pastor shared with us in his sermon. This is inspiring. He was a deacon living in Las Vegas, Nevada, the United States. He listened to over 2,000 messages of senior pastor. As for messages of significant content, he listened to them over and over again and read all his books. Hearing his messages, he was inspired. They are indeed words of life. As he fathomed the spiritual depths of his messages, he considered his former life of faith to be in vain. As his heart burned with passion, he decided to save souls by becoming a pastor. He just couldn't wait to share the gospel of holiness. Determined to become a pastor, he requested senior pastor to write a letter of recommendation so that he could enter the seminary. Because he was residing in Las Vegas, it would have been good for him to open a church there with many of his acquaintances. But he had to start his church out of Las Vegas. It was because of the promise he made to the pastor at the church he previously attended. He promised to the pastor, "As long as I live in Las Vegas, I would never leave this church." Because of that promise, he couldn't start a church in that city. To keep his promise never to leave the church he'd been attending, he decided to leave Las Vegas and found a church in a different city. That's how he sent a prayer request to senior pastor. Reading his letter, senior pastor was deeply moved. Discovering another passionate and good-hearted servant whom God can love, he was delighted. It felt like he'd got a great spiritual warrior. He had no deceit and was willing to leave the city he's been just to keep his promise. If we all have such a heart, how could we not be loved by God? Even though he made that promise years ago, he recalled that and tried to keep it. Hopefully, we all can have a great awakening from his inspiring story. Even with the situation changing, he didn't intend to break the promise he previously made. If we have no change of heart, we don't have to tell lies at all. Remembering how he conducted himself, we shouldn't tell even trivial lies. Next, let us talk about irrelevant answers. An irrelevant answer refers to a response that has nothing to do with the question. Such an answer frustrates a person who asked a question. Only after he hears a relevant, corresponding answer can he carry on with the conversation. Senior pastor once remarked that only one or two persons out of 100 people don't give him irrelevant answers during conversations with him, and that he said that it was quite surprising. He said that even though he preached a lot about it, people failed to keep it in mind. He also took a person for example. Even though senior pastor wanted to provide him with the advice and awakening, he couldn't because he continually responded with irrelevant answers. As he repeatedly gave an irrelevant answer, they couldn't get to the essence of the problem, and they couldn't go further with the conversation. This is so true, especially in spiritual counseling. To help someone spiritually, pastors need to figure out what exactly his problem is. To do so, they ask questions. But if they get irrelevant answers, it's hard for them to grasp the causes of the problem and resolve it satisfactorily. For example, you have a stomach ache and you go see a doctor, and the doctor asks you, where does it hurt? And then you have to say, my stomach hurts. But if you say, my leg hurts, the doctor wouldn't be able to solve your problem, right? We have to give an exact answer so that we can have our problems resolved in a satisfactory way. When senior pastor meets with groups of church members, always following a tight schedule, he only has 10 or 20 minutes for each group. He said that he often sees lamentable cases where he fails to say what they really need to hear. Even after he spends, because he is so loving and caring, he tries to solve their problems anyhow, but because they continually gave irrelevant answers, they couldn't get to the essence of the problem. Even after he spends time talking with them, they cannot have their problems resolved. What vanity this is! Thus, I urge you to fix your habit of giving an irrelevant answer. If your heart is truthful, you wouldn't give an irrelevant answer, said senior pastor. Then, how can we reduce or remove irrelevant answers? Just by paying close attention to the speaker, we can reduce the number of irrelevant answers. In many cases, people hear without concentration. Hearing others' words in their own thoughts, they end up with irrelevant answers. I want you to keep in mind that there are indeed worthless words. While giving an irrelevant answer, some may deceive a person or shift all the blame on him. When Father God asked Adam, "Did you eat from the tree of the knowledge?" Adam could have just replied, "Yes, I did." But Adam said, "Because of the woman whom you gave to me, I ate from the tree." That was not an accurate answer. He should have, he tried to sugarcoat himself and hide his faults. Others give an irrelevant answer to provide excuses for their behavior, which is even more inappropriate before God. Still others do so to cover up the truth. I want you to bear in mind how worthless irrelevant answers are and throw them away. Jokes or vogue words are also worthless words. A joke is something said or done to provoke laughter or cause amusement. A person who jokes a lot is not trustworthy. So it's difficult to confide in him or assign him an important task. Suppose you are looking for someone who has to carry out some important task. Would you assign the task to a person who jokes a lot? You wouldn't. It's because you can't place your trust on such a person. After you talk with him about an important matter, while joking with others, he could just blurt it out. Because you can't put your trust in him, you can't assign him something important. Especially, people who speak in public should always be cautious about this. He confessed that many years ago, there was a pastor who often used a specific word in his joke. And actually, that was not big of a deal. And senior pastor accidentally mentioned that word on the altar without him realizing it. The word is a Korean version of you know, or what you might call it, but it is associated with something not holy. Especially in my hometown, that word is not, is very common. As for me, my parents use that word a lot. So, it wasn't that big of a deal. But senior pastor, by nature, he is very careful in using his words. After saying that word by accident, senior pastor was troubled and filled with remorse, feeling awfully ashamed. What a beautiful heart that he has. Each and every deed of his inspire our heart. Regretting that he said something that was so inappropriate, he was troubled. He inadvertently said a word that he heard from the pastor and then felt so embarrassed. After the service, he looked up that word in the dictionary and he was relieved to find that the word was categorized as standard language. But even as he thought about it, the word didn't seem like a holy word. Neither was it refined or elegant. Each and every word spoken on the altar is engraved in the minds of church members. The same goes for the church leaders and leaders of each mission group. There are like public figure, so they have to be cautious with their words. Because they could use the each and every word spoken on the altar is engraved in the minds of the church members. So senior pastor cautioned people against telling jokes or saying what is inappropriate on the altar. Brothers and sisters, it's difficult for people who enjoy joking to be sanctified. Some people make others feel embarrassed or ashamed to provoke laughter. Even if they get upset, these people don't feel sorry about it, but just say, "What's the matter? Can't you take a joke?" Jokes Jokes carry exaggeration and worthless content, which is totally nonsense. Senior pastor once shared with his own experience. He advised us that we shouldn't believe the tour guide 100% on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. He said that while we refer to their explanations, we better not inscribe them on our heart. While on his pilgrimage to the Holy Land in 1989, he paid close attention to the tour guide all through his trip. You know, by nature, senior pastor pays attention when someone speaks. He assumed that the guide knew everything well and paid attention. But while meeting another tour guide on his next pilgrimage, he found that his explanations were completely different. He wondered why they were so different. Years later, he went on a pilgrimage again and again found that the tour guide's explanations were different. The explanations differed by tour guide. For example, their explanation about the city of Jericho was not accurate. As the Israelites obeyed Joshua, marched around the city 13 times and gave a loud shout, it collapsed. By the way, one of the tour guides said that it happened over 10,000 years ago, basing his claim on some geologic research. Archaeologists claim that the collapse of Jericho happened, but the tour guide says something that was totally not accurate. So his explanation So senior pastor didn't keep their explanations in mind. Because their explanation didn't coincide with the Bible, he advised us not to keep it in mind. Of course, in their explanations were things worth hearing. We can discern them. Some of them could be accepted as a truth, while most of them were not. So senior pastor told us that he didn't keep wrong explanations in mind. Why? Not all of them, but most of them are good at joking. So he told us not to accept their words as they are. I heard that when our church members go on a pilgrimage, even though tour guides start talking with jokes, soon enough, they sense some awkward atmosphere. As we neither laugh nor pay attention, their jokes stop. They perceive that we are not the ones to joke with and no longer talks that way. And because they stop joking, we are so happy and we are very obedient. We always punctual. We always speak words. So, in turn, tour guides love us so much. A joke or words of a similar kind are not appropriate for holy children of God, as we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, and there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. The same goes for secular vogue words, which carry with them worldly trends. Using such words, we may get tainted by worldly trends without us knowing it. Even though some of them don't have malicious content, as people longing for New Jerusalem, it would be better for us not to use them. Hearing this, some may retort, then how could we adjust to the world? How could we get along with people? Do jokes or vogue words keep us from entering heaven? It's not that they keep us from entering heaven, but while saying these words, it wouldn't be easy for us to enter a good dwelling place, especially New Jerusalem. It said in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 11, "He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious, the king is his friend." If we only speak words that are only true and gracious, we can be loved by God and recognized by people around us. Also, we hear a lot of curse words from movies or dramas. Even between friends, conversations begin and end with curse words. How could we, holy children of God, use curse words? Saying curse words is an act of following the worldly trends. Jesus said that whoever calls his friend foolish, he will be judged for that word. So it's no wonder that we shouldn't say curse words. You know, senior pastor never uses slangs or curse words. Especially when senior pastor refers to a thief, he calls him in an honorific way by putting Mr. before thief. He calls a thief a Mr. Thief. But among us, we don't honor thieves that way. We don't use such honorific expressions. We may use expressions like bastard. But senior pastor refers to even a thief in an honorific way. You know, if a thief is changed, he could go to heaven. Hoping that even a thief could be changed and be saved, he uses that expression. That expression carries his deep love. Mommy students are beloved by teachers and classmates because they use good and virtuous words at school, right? Getting good grades, they also win trust and love from teachers and friends. They get compliments like, "Mommy students are different." The same goes for employees and businessmen. You know, the sister Jiesa, who shared her testimony during the second part of the Friday online service, I was very inspired by her testimony. You know, suppose she used inappropriate words or showed inappropriate deeds, she couldn't have received promotion. But as a mommy member, she proudly declared what kind of person senior pastor is. She even called senior pastor a cheapskate, but, you know, she used that word in a good way. Senior pastor spares all his money. He saves up money to help the needy and to donate his money for good purposes. You know, after senior pastor met the Lord, he's been living such a life. He spared his money to provide aid to the needy. That's how he's lived. So, through his on her Facebook, she posted some comments about senior pastor. It was before she got promoted. Even after she posted that comment, she got a promotion. So I was very proud of her. You know, After that broadcasting incident happened last year, and I heard that I met people who they didn't, but employees told me that they didn't get they hear such comments as Mami members are different and they haven't get bad words about our church wherever they are. It depends on how we conduct ourselves. A senior pastor said that while he once talked with students, some students said that it was time for SPS. At first, he had no idea what they meant. Later on, he found out that SPS was an acronym for Saturday Praise Service. But this doesn't fall under the category of vogue words, because it is merely an abbreviation of a word. It's fine. But using vogue words that is puzzling and embedded with worldly trends brings no benefit but only harm to our souls. Next, there is a significant reason that we shouldn't say worthless words. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for in the day of judgment." It reminds us that after we speak some careless words, even though they bear no evil intention, we will have to provide an accounting for it on the day of the judgment. We should never make light of this word of Jesus. Even the smallest letter or stroke of his words will not disappear, but all will be fulfilled. Shouldn't we avoid being questioned on? But as for the words of, but once we repent, all such words disappear. Only then, but the important thing is we speak worthless words without our realizing it, and then forget about them. Such worthless words result in problems because they are spoken without a guard over our mouth. Once we build up rewards in heaven, we receive blessings on earth as well. But there are cases where people build up a lot of rewards but turn all of them into nothing. It's when they commit sins leading to death. Because they end up in death, there's no reason for their heavenly rewards to remain. So all of them turn into nothing. But after a person committed a sin not leading to death, only the corresponding portion of his rewards is gone, while the rest remains. Even among words are the ones that lead to death. They relate to blaspheming and opposing of the Holy Spirit. If you commit such sins, all your rewards turn into nothing. In that case, you have to break down the wall of sins by repenting thoroughly. From then on, you can start over again. For example, you've worked hard for the Lord and sown much in faith. But if you commit sins of blaspheming and opposing the Holy Spirit, all such things turn into nothing. They go to the state where they cannot be saved. So all their rewards are gone. But once they repent, they have to start over again. So we shouldn't commit sins of blaspheming and opposing the Holy Spirit through our words. Even though our heart is not whole or perfect, we have to prevent ourselves from ever committing such sins. How miserable it would be if such a thing ever happened to us. To explain in more detail, at the first level of faith, your heavenly rewards don't disappear just because you commit a sin leading to death. It's because it is committed in ignorance. God doesn't blame you because you lack faith and knowledge of the truth. So if you are at the first or second level of faith, don't be concerned. It's because you are like a child in a spiritual sense. But it's not the case with those at the third level of faith. They are like young adults in terms of faith. If people who are at the third level or above commit a sin that leads to death, they backslide to the first or second level of faith. The same goes for those who are at the fourth or fifth level of faith. While young adults should be robust and healthy, if they become like an infant, they are close to death. Also, if they commit sins leading to death through words, all their rewards are gone. Some people speak roughly, even though they don't say things leading to death. They just utter words too carelessly. Yet, because it's not a sin leading to death, once they repent of having said those words, they can break down the wall of sin. But there are cases where people build a huge wall of sin through their words, but fail to break it down because they don't recall what they said. There are individuals who can't remember even the words spoken a short while ago. Some can't remember what they said yesterday, while others, even an hour ago. The problem is, even after they say something inappropriate, they can't recall it. So they fail to tear down the wall of sins. Even for our own sake, it's better for us not to speak worthless words or tell jokes. As a pastor, I've seen many cases where people suffered hardships by building a wall of sin through worthless words. They have to break it down quickly. They have to pray and ask God to recall their words in the fullness and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, or they have to ask God to point them out, even through a dream. If they cannot recall the words they spoke, problem remains, and they cannot have them resolved. So they have to pray and pray to God. Back in 1999, quite a few people spoke worthless words during the broadcasting incident, building a wall of sin. This in turn hindered them from receiving healing and answers quickly. On the contrary, people abroad have enjoyed God's quick answers. Especially, most of those who visit this church from overseas are healed because they have no wall of sins. Some people, however, fail to receive healing even after they receive prayer. They are related to the broadcasting incident back in 1999. While people out of Korea were not involved in judging or condemning senior pastor, some people around us were involved in it. So people from overseas, whenever they came to church and received prayer, they were healed and received answers. Why should they condemn or judge a person who is beloved and guaranteed by God? Many people got stricken with the disease after speaking what was worthless in 1999. Some of them passed away because they failed to repent. Even though they themselves earnestly wanted to repent, they couldn't. Others faced trouble in their businesses or workplaces as well. That resulted from their judging and condemning a man of God. Consequently, they suffer from many tribulations and disasters. At least from now on, I urge you never to speak such worthless words. There's a saying that goes, "The history repeats itself." You know, what happened in 1999? A similar thing is going on around us. But many of you, many church members, have kept your words and stay faithful to God. As you run vigorously in faith, you know, when senior pastor comes back, how much blessings will God give to you, pour out to you? Each and every one of you are precious and dear ones. let's say to one another, "You are so precious ones." Yes, we are such precious ones. After this trial is over, and when we meet each other in New Jerusalem, how moved and touched we will be. I recommend you to get into a habit of thinking, would this word benefit me and others? As said in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. As we talk a lot, we can naturally make mistakes. Then, what are beneficial words for God's children? As said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, beneficial words are good words that edify others and give grace to them. Also, words that give glory to God, plant faith in people's hearts, and provide life for them are spiritually beneficial. To ask you for one more thing, you know well that we should refrain from talking about worldly things in the sanctuary. In the sanctuary, I ask you to have only spiritual conversations that give grace to one another and strengthen one's faith one another. Let me conclude a message. The psalmist confessed in today's passage, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." This has been what I've been praying for as well. I know that some of you have already set a guard over your mouth, while most of you are praying to do so. About a month ago, when Pastor Soojin Lee preached about the deeds of body we have to keep under control, she urged us to make our lips resemble those of our Lord. And she reminded us that the words that came out of Jesus' lips were only of goodness, love, and truth, and that he didn't speak unnecessary or worthless words. He only saved lives and glorified God through his words. So, every word that came out of Jesus' lips always was beneficial and saved souls. Hoping that all of us will only speak words that are only beneficial and save souls, I've delivered a message entitled, "Set a Guard Over Your Mouth." Brothers and sisters, today, in the next session, we will explore the second and third points. If I get a chance, I will explore the second and third points. To set a guard over our mouth is essential for the sake of ourselves, our family members, people around us, and the kingdom of God. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you, all my members, will set a guard over your mouth and receive abundant blessings.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. all epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.